Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report. I'm Joanne Rideout. This is the show about all things maritime. Well, it's Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. We have about 21 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have combined seas around 7 feet on the Columbia River bar, then near 5 feet by early tomorrow morning. Seas are going to temporarily build to 8 feet during those max ebb current times, one happening around 3:45 a.m. and again at 4 p.m. today, and to 6 feet during the ebb around 4:30 a.m. on Thursday. So why is it that that sometimes the ebb current causes seas that are pretty high on the bar, and why sometimes are they low? Well, that's something that happens. A lot of factors affect things on the Columbia River bar and on the river. But overall, there's a factor that I don't often talk about that has to do with how big and how messy it gets there at the mouth of the river. And that is the difference between the high and low tide. Sometimes if you look on that, like I was looking this morning at the tidal chart, and there's about maybe 5 feet difference between the high and low tide today. And sometimes during spring tides and other things that are happening, there can be like 10 or 11 feet difference between the high and low tides. So what that means is that you take the billions of gallons of water that are rushing downstream, and when the tide is, when there's a big drop between high tide is high and the low tide is low, that same amount of water, a lot actually, has to rush down the river to, it's a huge change in the amount of, in the height of the water. There's just all this dynamics going on. And so sometimes it's just a lot happening out there. So when you have those big tidal swings, high, a very high tide and a very low tide, sometimes the mouth of the river can get really, really complicated out there because a tremendous amount of water is rushing down the river, augmented by the natural occurrence. The pull of the moon on the earth is causing the river to slam into the ocean with tremendous force, which happens anyway because of the tide. So here we always have those, the natural downriver current happening, that the river is flowing toward the sea naturally. And then you have that outgoing pull of the moon when, as the earth rotates through the pull of the moon, there's a tremendous pull to pull the tide up to high tide, and then it rebounds and falls down to low tide. Depending on the strength of the pull of the moon at any given time, as the earth is moving through its path, and the moon is moving through its path through the universe, those forces act on the earth, and sometimes they all act together, and you'll see very high tides and very low tides. And so this all manifests, all these forces manifest themselves in what we see and experience on the river, and they end up in things like the marine weather forecast, and that doesn't even take into account the storms and the winds and all those other things. So what causes the sea state at any given time, like the conditions that mariners are encountering out there on the river, lots and lots of factors happening there, but I thought it'd be interesting to just talk a little bit about the ebb current. So we have a small craft advisory for hazardous seas in effect until 7 o'clock this morning. So things are calming down now out there. Overall in our marine weather forecast, we have southwest winds 10 to 15 knots. They're going to get up to 20 knots later in the day. Wind waves from the southwest 3 feet high at 4 seconds apart. Westerly swells 10 feet high at 11 seconds between wave crests. Scattered showers and a slight chance of even thunderstorms in the afternoon. So let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We've got 3 inbounders, 7 in the Astoria Anchorage, 2 at the Rice Island Anchorage, a little upriver from Astoria, and 8 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Olympus. She's arriving from China, headed for the Kalama Anchorage. She's going to pass Astoria maybe around 5:30 p.m. That would put her in Kalama by about 10:30. It takes about 5 hours for a ship to get from the Astoria waterfront to Kalama. So ships, when they get there to Kalama, they can either go directly to a berth or they can anchor in the Kalama Anchorage. Kalama is one of the places on the river that has a designated official anchorage. And so this vessel is going to the anchorage. It's waiting. I'm not quite sure what its cargo is. Generally, ships that are going to Kalama anchor off Kalama if they can. They also anchor off Astoria, but sometimes you'll see a ship anchor off Kalama, and eventually it'll be going up to Longview. So it really depends on where the available spaces are and where ships can fit themselves in while they wait their turn to get to their berth. So I don't know exactly what her cargo is, but she will be probably, if she goes to Kalima, she'll probably be picking up corn, soy, or wheat. The Mendocino is our next inbounder, arriving from China. She's also headed for the Astoria Anchorage, arriving there around 7:30 p.m. Not sure exactly what her cargo is yet. Sometimes ships come in the river, as I've said before, not really knowing quite what their cargo will be because they're on contract and the negotiations are still happening. But they do know that they're going to a berth on the Columbia, so it's worth their while to pay the pilotage fees to come in and wait in the anchorage until the paperwork gets sorted out. So eventually, the Mendocino will leave the Astoria Anchorage and go upriver to at berth somewhere on the river to load cargo. The Seven Seas Highway is arriving from Japan. When you see a ship that has the word highway in her name, you can be pretty sure it's a car carrier. So around 11 p.m. or, yeah, maybe around 10:30, 11 p.m., you might see the running lights of the Seven Seas Highway passing Astoria inbound. She's headed for the port of Portland, and she has brand new Toyotas on board. So that means that she came from Japan loaded full with probably maybe 6,000 cars on board is usually about the capacity of the car carriers that come into the Columbia River. She probably went to, looks like she's coming directly from Japan, but often what car carriers do is they'll hit Puget Sound area, they'll go across into the Strait of Juan de Fuca and go to, say, Tacoma and deliver part of their cars there, or Seattle, or somewhere in British Columbia. And then they will come to the Columbia River, deliver some of their cars here, and then go south to maybe San Francisco or L.A. and deliver the rest of their cars there. So maybe sometimes a third of their cargo in each port is what car carriers do. So another these Toyotas are coming directly from Japan to Astoria. And then they'll either deliver them all here or deliver part of the cargo and then head downriver to deliver the rest once they head back out in the ocean and go south of here. In the Astoria Anchorage, it looks like all but one of our ships are all awaiting orders, but we have the Bulk Peru headed for the Vancouver Anchorage, and she is ultimately going to the Port of Portland to pick up potash. She'll depart around 1 p.m., but left behind in the Anchorage for now will be the New Boundary, the Paniata K, the Gracia Universalis, the F.D. Vittorio Raiola, and the Nord Pluto, the Easter N, and the Energy G. And the Rice Island Anchorage also has the Spring Progress and the Dene R awaiting orders. That's about all I have time for today. I'll put the ship schedule up on the website along with the podcast of this show later on today. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.